Welcome to What EMS, the assessment, where I'm Charles McFall, and I'm sitting here with Adam today. We're going to do our little con game that we do, the 3-2-1. So we'll give you the three questions to start with. So easy peasy. How long have you been in EMS?
22 years.
22 years. All right. Rookie still. I got you.
Yeah, pretty much.
In that 22 years, have you done most of your work in one place? Have you moved around and have you moved up?
I actually started here in Glenn County.
Okay.
That's where I was born and raised. I started with...
know that guy over there.
started at Glenn County as a volunteer, worked for Brunswick, and then relocated to Spalding County.
Okay.
Which is just south of Atlanta. Been there, worked there for a couple of years, moved to Alabama, did some stuff with a fire extinguisher company, manufacturer over there, and moved back, and been 15 years here.
And have you been moving up through those moves?
Yeah. I'm a lieutenant now. Hopefully be a captain next year, so we'll see how that goes.
Now, is that straight EMS, fire?
No, that's fire/EMS.
Okay.
I worked as a paramedic part-time for 12 years because of some EMA stuff and more roles and responsibility at teaching. Just didn't have the hours to give the EMS, so I do all that online now as far as on a fire truck and stuff. So
I got, the online has really helped change the game with education and those kind of things.
Yes.
So why EMS?
Second generation. I wanted to follow my dad's footsteps and be better than he was. And he very involved, very high up in the rank, teaches throughout the state, so I kind of want to be better than him. So he kind of sets the bar high, so I want to follow that.
Has he retired yet to give you?
Yeah, he retired in 2016 after 41 years from here, from Glenn County as assistant fire chief, but he's still doing it. So he's still working
really
on the bus.
You really haven't got that advantage to get up on him yet.
Yeah.
So. Okay. All right, so here's round two. It gets a little bit tougher.
All right.
All right, so if you had all the power in the world, what's one thing you would change about EMS?
That's a good question. I will have to say, just from my experience, is leadership training within the organizational supervisors and bosses, understanding they have to have leadership training. It's not just whether it's a business or a government agency. What I mean by business, whether it's private or government, they still have to understand leadership strategies, because what leadership in business is going to be different in public safety. The reason why I say that is you have people that are risking their lives and going out there and seeing the mess that they see. It's not the same as working in the office.
True.
So that if I had one,
or riding in
change,
a chief's car.
Yes. Being in an administration building in a patrol car or ambulance or fire truck, it's two totally different worlds, but not everybody follows those worlds. Sometimes they get a degree and they just go straight in. And so if I could change anything, it would be to change the leadership responsibilities of those individuals, like whether it's training or classes or conferences like this.
Yeah, you're talking about, so there's nothing inherently wrong about coming up through the ranks and becoming a leader or getting a degree and coming as leadership, but you have to understand your audience. You have to understand the business, as it were. You can't just take over a fire department as a lawyer thinking you know everything.
Exactly.
But you can bridge. Okay, I got you. The next question is, what's one piece of advice you give somebody coming into the field right now?
Be a sponge.
Okay.
Be a sponge. Don't come in thinking you know it all, because every school, all it does is establishes your foundation.
Right.
Like a house. So in order to build a house or any structure, you got to have a foundation. Well, that is what EMT school is. That is what paramedic school is. That is what fire recruit school is.
Yeah.
It's to build your foundation. Now it's your job to go out there and find those classes to build that structure of your career.
I like it.
That is what I always tell my students, whether it's fire, EMS, paramedic, or whatever, is this does not mean you know it all. This is just your foundation. Come to conferences. That's why, do online classes. Go to stuff outside of your department, whether it's the State Fire Academy or State Academy or National Academy, or go somewhere and expand your knowledge. Don't think that you know it all just because you took a 14-month paramedic class and because I've been doing this for 23 years, grew up with it. I don't know everything.
Right.
I refuse to say I know everything. And the second I do that, it's probably when I need to get out.
There's people say, well, dude, they don't teach you the real world in class. And I hate that analogy. Your analogy is the best one I've ever heard. You set the foundation and you keep building the house on top of it. Because by no means, I mean, I was 20, 21, 22 when I got my paramedic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been in the field for a little while. But I was in charge of the truck and was one of the youngest people in the whole service.
Yeah.
You know, but you had to listen. You had to lean on the people who knew stuff.
Yeah, it don't matter what position you're in. You know, whatever position, okay, if I make a lieutenant, I'm now on my second floor of my structure. Guess what? I got to start building those walls of that. And then whether you go to captain or battalion
chief. You don't build it by yourself.
No, no. You have to lean on those guys that are already on the second floor. Say, hey, here's the game. Here's the blueprint of that second floor. Follow it. And you have to be willing to do that.
And everybody's house is different.
Yes.
You know, your mentor built their house differently than you are, but you can take those ideas. Yes. See, I love the house. That's a beautiful analogy.
Yeah.
It's really great. So the hard question, you got four categories.
All right.
Finance, education, feeling, emotions, or ask you anything. Like, I get to ask you anything.
Ask me anything.
All right. So you got hearing aids in?
Yes.
Were you born deaf?
Yes. It's hereditary.
Okay.
I was born this way.
So what did you have to overcome, not just physically in the field, but also through people and how they treated you?
That's a very good question. So I was born this way. I have a profound and severe hearing loss, which means I'm over 80%.
Okay.
Sign language is my primary language. English is secondary. Now, the thing is that I had to understand is it is my disability, not anybody else's. That's the first thing I had to understand is I have to take steps to take ownership of it. It's not I'm here's a silver platter. I want you to give me everything on it. No, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
I just have to work harder to be better. The second thing is education. Is whoever I'm working with or whatever the department I've been with is I take the time to ask questions and for them to ask me questions and let's be transparent. ADA is a great thing, but when it comes to you as an individual, ADA just protects you. It doesn't give you the silver platter. That's what a lot of people misunderstand. And so what I do is I also help others and say, look, you have to take ownership and then you have to educate as well as you be educated on how things work. And it's kind of like a tit for tat. So I'm going to talk about my current partner, kind of tell you what, like give you an example is I sleep with my hearing aids in and stuff like that. But there are times that I may just not hear it. And so we have a common understanding. If I don't understand it, I'm going to look at him and he's going to be like, hey, this is what they said.
Nice.
But it's not expected. It's a request.
Sure.
But he respects me enough to being honest.
It's a real partner.
Yeah. So it's a real ownership of both parties, not just one.
Yeah.
So that's how I deal with it. The other way that I deal with it is I provide education. I had a great opportunity in June, and as a matter of fact, because of that door that opened up, I do know how the door opened up, but it had nothing to do with me. It had to do with others that I have had a relationship with to explain it that got the door open. NSA, National Security Agency.
Sure.
I'm actually going to start being one of their speakers. I did my first speech for them and NSA at Fort Gordon, and they have some deaf employees that work there. And because of that communication, that gap was closed. And the education, because it's kind of hard for a deaf person that can't speak and don't understand anything about the mainstream versus a hearing person that don't understand anything about the hearing impaired culture.
Sure.
Well, I fit in the middle. So I want to be that gap.
Yep.
Yeah. That bridge that puts them two together. And that's how I want to handle it.
Awesome. That is beautiful. So One EMS, this is the little bonus round, right? One EMS is an organization that's trying to bridge gaps. It's trying to educate the public. We're trying to go to lawmakers so they understand what we're doing and everything in between. So what is one thing for you that One EMS could do for the community?
And I'm going to speak from a deaf perspective.
Absolutely.
Be willing to take that step into the unknown. That's the biggest problem that people have. It's like, well, I don't know much about it. I don't know anybody that knows anything about it. Take that step and say, hey, how can I close that gap within my community, whether it's the blind community, whether it's the hearing impaired or deaf community, whether it's the geriatric community, whether you have an assisted living or a retirement community like we have. And take that step to bridge that gap. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
The sooner you face it, because as we all know, everything comes to light at some point.
Yes, sir.
As soon as you face it, the better, the more respect your department or your agency is going to get. And number two, the better service that you're going to be able to provide to those particular groups. is by stepping outside of your comfort zone. Like I tell people, don't let finances or politics get in the way. Yeah. Do what's best for your citizens who are paying your paycheck, whether you're a government agency or in your service area.
Yeah.
So that's what I would recommend as far as closing that gap in between those less obvious communities that people don't normally deal with.
That's awesome. We're going to take that and run with it. So, as a thank you, we have this fire tumbler that's fire and EMS, or we have the EMS tumbler that's the American flag. Which one?
I'll take them both since I do both.
All right, I'll get you one out of the box for you. Thank you, Adam. Well,
thank
I appreciate
you. Appreciate
it. Great. And we'll do this again.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Yeah.